Duke and Dow with you live in studio. And joining us live today is Trevor Wilton, Commissioner of the Wyoming High School Activities Association. Good morning, Trevor. How are you today?
Good morning, guys. I'm great. How are you guys?
We're great, Trevor. Thank you for taking a few minutes with us this morning. Kind of wanted to start off by talking about a couple of different schools in terms of football. We're still kind of wrapping things up as we head into the winter season, but a couple of schools that jump out to me is in terms of the opt-up, opt-down situation with Wyoming is you had Guernsey Sunrise make their determination that they had to cancel part of their season this year, and then also determine they're not going to play next year. And then you also have a school like Cheyenne South with the 4A type of enrollment. They petitioned to play a 3A schedule to maybe jumpstart some competitive juices. Can you talk to us about those situations and maybe just the overall concept that your organization is getting from schools as they try and figure out what's best for them?
Yeah, South is a tough situation, and we haven't heard anything officially as far as what they are doing. For next year, I believe they're going to try to play some varsity games against certain schools and then just basically forfeit their varsity schools or their games to like East and Gillette schools and Natrona, but I haven't heard officially what they're going to do. They have not chosen to opt down as of now. Again, they have some time, but they're just working through a lot of things. They're in a tough spot. Obviously, their football program has not been great. And there's no easy answer, because if they choose to opt down, then that leaves 9 schools in 4A if we stick with our current structure. And then that would put 13 schools in 3A. And scheduling with 9 and 13 is virtually impossible. You're going to have an open week throughout the season for somebody, or multiple teams for that matter. So it's very difficult. I feel for them. Nobody has answers as of right now, but South is working through that process, and hopefully they'll let us know soon.
Trevor, let's talk about a couple potential scenarios. First, let's say where you started out at the beginning, they stay 4A and they're just going to pre-forfeit a handful of games. I'm assuming that decision's made well in advance. So does that open up maybe for those other 4A schools? Here's why I'm asking. We want to see a Star Valley-Sheridan matchup, right? And that's been talked about around the state for a while. Should South pre-forfeit, say, a game against Sheridan or another 4A school, does that open it up for those schools to maybe schedule a game that week?
Yeah, we would allow those schools, if South forfeits ahead of time, we would allow those schools, for example, Sheridan, if they can find a game, and obviously Star Valley, that would be a great matchup. The difficult piece is for 3A, you know, they're pretty much filled weeks 4 through 8. So if they could fill that game weeks 1, 2, and 3 or 0 week, you know, that would work out. But, yeah, we would allow those schools to find another game since they're getting a forfeit.
Trevor, my whole career and yours too, one of the big challenges Wyoming has when it comes to this topic is enrollment numbers and travel. We're a big state with not a lot of people in it. Those are two inescapable facts. What are some of the concepts or ideas that you feel like could potentially be best case scenario and solutions for maybe a 4A football class? What are some of the things that are being kicked around, and maybe some other concepts that might be out there?
Well, the one thing that's being kicked around, and it hasn't been proposed yet, at least we haven't seen in our office, but we certainly could before January 1st, is a 12-12-12 start with football. Instead of being 10-12-14, it would be 12 in 4A, which, as you guys know, would move Jackson and Star Valley up to 4A. And then 3A would be the next 12 schools, wherever that cut line would be. 2A would be the next 12. And then 1A 9-man would end up with 14. And then I believe we'd have 12 and 6-man. That's being talked about. I don't know if we're going to see that proposal, but that certainly might help South. It certainly doesn't help Jackson. Star Valley would fit in well with 4A. Travel would be a little bit of a concern. Speaking of Star Valley, I got Rob Erickson calling me. I better
Hey, Rob, hold on. We got him right now. Rob, hold on.
He's probably doing some weight management stuff and has a question.
That's really funny that our own AD is calling right during this interview. So
good stuff. It's kind of ironic.
Yeah.
We didn't plan that.
No.
But, nor did I.
So Trevor, if we let's say that you do the 12-12-12 that you were mentioning and the travel situation, you look at 4A and you're thinking, okay, because right now everybody plays everybody. There's no east, west. There's no north, south. You'd have to go to that, right? But even that looks difficult if you do an east-west situation. Of course, you got Jackson, Star Valley, and Rock Springs over here on the west. But then you're talking about, okay, I guess the next natural two are Natrona, Kelly Walsh, but that still only gives you five. And then you're asking, what, Laramie to play in the west? Or you're asking Sheridan to play in the west? I mean, that's really what makes this so difficult, right?
It is difficult. And you talked about it earlier. Travel in our state is just very difficult. We only have 70 high schools and we're spread out all over the place. And especially with when we're talking Star Valley and Jackson being basically in Idaho, you know, close enough to Idaho to play. They could play schools within 100 miles. They could probably fill their schedule, certainly within 200 miles if they went to Idaho. So I think the only way that Star Valley has an interest, and this is, we had a meeting with the 3A ADs Wednesday, a Zoom meeting, just to discuss a little bit of football. And Rob is okay if they would go 4A, as long as they don't have to play a full 4A schedule, meaning we conference up, however that looks, and then their non-conference games, basically they're going to go to Idaho and get those games. So their travel really wouldn't be that bad, especially with their non-conference games.
It's some interesting stuff, Trevor. I mean, obviously, like I said, it's been a discussion that has been going on forever and will continue to be so. And part of that is a good thing because we don't want to live with 10 million people in our state, do we?
I agree.
We're going to move on to the winter sports. Kind of talk to us about some of the things on the agenda that maybe people might not be aware of. One thing, just want to clarify, people have been asking us about the shot clock. That's not going into effect until the 26th. Till 2026, correct? And just anything else that's on your mind as far as winter sports?
Yeah, that's correct. The shot clock will officially go into place the 26-27 school year. We think, and I'm going to visit with my board this spring, we want to, I think, just to get a head start, those schools that already have the shot clock for next year, I think we're going to allow schools to use that for non-conference and tournaments, just so we kind of get used to it and get some people that, you know, my biggest concern is finding people to run the shot clock. It's hard enough for our schools to find folks to keep score and do all that stuff. But the shot clock, you have to pay attention, as you guys both know. But so that's my biggest concern. So we might allow that next year, even though it's not official, for non-conference and tournament games. Other than that, this winter, this is obviously the first year of our new reclass, you know, structure. So we went through the fall with our 15 and 4A, 16 and 3A, 16 and 2A. But basketball will be the first, you know, this will be the first winter season with this new structure. So we'll see how that works. And then the biggest thing we have coming up in the winter is we have a lot of culminating event bid proposals that are due. Our big five with volleyball, both basketballs, wrestling, and track are up for bid. Tennis, state tennis is up for bid, indoor track, alpine skiing, speech and debate, soccer, and softball are all, we're all looking for proposals for those sports. So that's a big item our board will deal with on February 11th.
Speaking with Trevor.
Other than that, we had a great fall. The weather was fantastic and state football was awesome. And you guys did a great job as always. That coverage is, you know, second to none, and we certainly appreciate you folks doing that, and we hope that continues down the road.
Well, we appreciate it when the weather's nice, Trevor. That helps. And so, we'll take that all the time. Speaking with Trevor Wilson, Commissioner of the Wyoming High School Activities Association, heading into the third season with girls wrestling being a sanctioned sport. With everything, when you first start something out, there's some things you got to navigate and figure out. And the speaking of culminating events, that's been the case with girls wrestling. After the format that was happened last year, different from year one, do you feel like you've settled into that and that's how things are going to work moving forward with girls wrestling at state?
Yeah, that's our plan. You know, it was a great, last year was the best state wrestling tournament that we've ever had. I mean, the place was packed. Obviously, the addition of girls made a huge difference, and I think that'll continue to grow. So the format, at least in my opinion, will stay the very same until we have to maybe look at two classes of girls wrestling. That might be down the road sometime. Then we'll have to maybe monitor how we navigate through the state tournament, because we don't have enough mats to have, you know, we can't put 10 mats in there, so we can't have all five classes going at the same time. But we'll work through that, maybe some sessions or other states deal with it as well. But yeah, girls wrestling is growing. I think it will continue to grow, and it's been a great addition to our wrestling season.
Trevor, do you have kind of an idea of what you might be expecting in terms of that discussion for maybe a two-class girls wrestling, in terms of how long that's going to go until that may happen, or is that still just kind of out there?
Well, yeah, we're wait just, and see? You know, we're kind of in limbo on that. Last year we had 450 girls that went through weight management. I don't know how many finished the season. We don't keep track of that. But so I'm interested. In fact, today is our first weight management assessment date. So I'm interested to see how many girls we do get certified, and if that number continues to grow, you know, let's just use 600 for example, I think it's time we start looking at two classes, just to be fair for those kids.
Trevor, a couple weeks ago you spoke with David Settle at Wild Preps, and this was kind of just dropped in there. I wanted to get a little more insight on it, but it sounds like WASA is working on some sort of NIL policy for student athletes in the state. Give us some more background on this, and again, it's still in the developing stages, but what do you anticipate this policy being and stating, and what direction would you like to see this go when it comes to high school student athletes and an NIL policy?
Yeah, so we are in the preliminary stages. Our plan is to take out a policy in January for our district meetings, not for a first reading, but just for discussion to see where our schools are at. I think it's time we... there's 40 states right now that have an NIL policy, so they do allow it. So we're one of the few that do not. And I think I want to get ahead of the game before somebody tells us we have to. And there's a lot of concerns that I have, a lot of concerns that our schools have. But the bottom line is, you know, if our kids can earn a few hundred dollars for books based on their name, image, and likeness, but I think that's okay. And I don't think we're going to have the million-dollar winners, but if we do, that's the way it goes. But we just have to put in some restrictions. You know, they can't be in a school uniform. They can't be on school grounds. Can't be during the school day or during team activities. There's just some things in there. We have to protect these kids a little bit and the parents, because there's a lot of these collectives that they call NIL collectives, these people trying to recruit all these kids and families, and they give them X amount of dollars, and they kind of sign their life away. And we just want to make sure our kids are protected. But it's coming out, and we'll see where it goes with our discussion in January with our schools.
Feels like the Wild West out there in terms of some of
that
stuff.
It is the Wild West, yeah.
Trevor,
yeah, it's crazy.
Trevor, anything that's kind of coming down the pipe in terms of that we haven't touched on that you feel like is kind of on your desk that you're dealing with?
I don't think so. I think the NIL we talked about and then our culminating events are the two big items that we'll try to navigate through. But other than that, we just hope we have a great winter season, and maybe the weather will cooperate again.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Commissioner of the Wyoming High School Activities Association, Trevor Wilson, with us on First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday. Trevor, as always, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate all you guys do for us.
It's all part of the Weekday Wake Up and First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday on SVI Radio.